Well, I tell you what, there's just enough element, their feeling of truth here to make this whole thing go, wow, what's going on here on this planet, if this is all possible? We'll be back in a moment. Stuart Swerdlow, our guest, and final calls. Don't go away. Stuart, generally, I'm a pretty positive person. If it's partly whatever outside, I say it's partly sunny, not partly cloudy. What can people do, any hope here, so they can at least fight back?
Absolutely, George. And, you know, I know that sometimes I'm accused of being all doom and gloom, but let's face it, when you look out there and that's what you see, that's what you got to talk about. But we have to remember that despite everything I've spoken about, we as a species, humanity, are responsible for it and need to take responsibility. Because with the victimization mind patterns that I've spoken about before, we attract tyrants and oppressors that fulfill our low self-worth, our need for being put down, because humanity does have that kind of a thought pattern. So if we all collectively and individually work on ourselves and start to reintegrate our own mind patterns and take control of our own minds and lives, then these people cannot have control over us, and it can all end and go away. And I know I make it sound simple, but it really can be, as long as we make an effort to do that. Most of the work that I do these days is in helping people reintegrate and gain control of their minds and their bodies again, to deprogram from the mind control, to purge from the toxins that they're taking in their bodies. So yes, there's hope, and it starts with each one of us. And I don't believe in fighting. I don't believe in wars or upheavals. I think that the attack has to be from within us. We need to go in and remove the artificial elements that have been put in us and take control of ourselves once again.
Okay, let's go to these calls. Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Mark from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay, Mark, thank you for calling.
No problem. Love the show. I just want to ask Stuart for a comment on something. I mean, he mentioned before about mind programming in the military done in the Vietnam era. I was wondering about it happening now still. I have two family members who just got back from the Army, and it just seems that they're two completely different people now. I mean, their whole outlook has changed. They're more aggressive. They have, I guess the best way to describe it is like a blind patriotism. I mean, they think they was in Iraq, you know, fighting for freedom in America and thinking Iraq was behind 9/11. It just seems like the thoughts they had before got completely morphed, and I was just wanting to hear his comments on that.
All right.
Thank you, Mark, and you made a very good point there, and a lot of people have said the same thing to me. And as I mentioned earlier, I have a lot of clientele in the military and even in the Border Patrol at the current moment. And so I know what's going on in those locations. Yes, they are brainwashing and mind controlling the people, the service people in Iraq. If you remember, not long ago, there was a soldier who kind of went berserk and he started to shoot his own people in his own unit and then tried to commit suicide. Suicides are very high in Iraq among military personnel. Suicide programming is a clue that there is programming going on, because in every matrix in the programming, they always put a suicide altar. When programming becomes invalid or something is going wrong, the internal programmer in the matrix kicks in and terminates the person. So yes, what you're saying is true. A lot of what's going on in Iraq is being broadcast. In fact, during the first Gulf War, there were military aircraft dropping leaflets over Iraq, and the leaflet said, resistance is futile. Now, where did you hear that before, except on the Star Trek program with the Borg? So, you know, science fiction becomes reality. Why do you think that the guards, the National Guard of Iraq, surrendered like that in the first war? Just automatically, they were trained to fight to the death. It's because of mind control that was being programmed. They had helicopters there that are transmitting mind control waves to the entire population. You know, there were no terrorist activities in Iraq before we invaded. We brought that in there. We are creating all of these problems. And more people are dying in Iraq now than ever before. Under Saddam Hussein, yes, he was a totalitarian person, but people didn't die like they're dying now. So we have to look at all that, and in order to be a soldier in a situation where you know something is wrong and you know something, the government is doing something not right, the only way to circumvent people from knowing that publicly is by programming them, the soldiers, so that when they come back or they talk to the media, that they're going to promote the government line. Now that, you know, Timothy McVeigh, who was accused of exploding the Murrah building in Oklahoma City, was also in Iraq and Kuwait during the first war. He said, "I was programmed there." And no sooner did he say that while he was in prison, a few days later they executed him. So yes, what you're saying is absolutely correct. I would urge you and members of your family to maybe learn some deprogramming techniques that you can apply and maybe help bring these people back to their normal state of mind. By the way, in October and November, I am having a conference which is going to teach this kind of work of deprogramming, using the mind, integrating self. That's all available on the website if you go and look. And, of course, it's in my new book, 13 Cubed. Read that. Learn the techniques in there. Apply them. You know, even if you don't believe me, even if you don't want to accept that this is the truth, just try it for yourself and see what comes up in your own mind. It will actually, you'll be fascinated by what you will see in your own mind.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hello there.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
My name is Carolyn. I'm from Baltimore.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. I really appreciate your guest, and I agree with some of what he says. Although I don't subscribe to all of the reptilian stuff nor the alien stuff,
okay.
I personally don't feel like there's going to be, you know, a show like he seems to think there is, and I'm a Bush supporter, by the way. But I wanted to say that I really do appreciate the well thought out and well discussed comments regarding mind control. I think that there are some points that he's made that are absolutely right on. And I think that some of the excesses that I notice in the dialogue probably come from, if I'm not mistaken, he said that he was a victim also of some of that programming. And I'm not trying to step on any toes, and I'm trying to do this gently. I think that maybe some of the excesses are a little bit because of that. But I think that, you know, I think that you're right on with a lot of the things. I know somebody that went through something similar to that during the 50s and early 60s, and they have a recollection of a house, although not a castle by any means. It's a burned-out house. And it's very interesting to think that perhaps in each of those rooms with that person, there lies, you know, some sort of an altar. Their family had been involved with the Pentagon and different things like that, and they had a very great pride in serving, even, I think, as a child. And so there is that juxtaposition of victimization versus, you know, the veterans, that the children that were veterans at that time. And so for me, it's very interesting that it's coming to the forefront where people can begin to talk about this. And I'm hoping that perhaps our country can get past it, you know, recognizing the contribution of the children and their innocence and their veteran status, and begin to move past some of these things. And I think that will provide... It'll actually probably knock the legs out of some of the people that, you know, don't have our best interests at heart. They won't be able to operate so without, you know, any sort of safeguards. People will begin to be able to look at what they're doing because they'll be talking about what they're doing. And I really do appreciate what you're saying. And, oh, the other thing that this person had is numbers. And it was like a recognition of even numbers, one specifically, that seemed to lead to tunnels, you know, of, you know, immense amounts of information where they felt they could stretch, you know, where they hadn't stretched for a long time. And so this reintegration is very interesting to watch them go through. And although I don't agree with the alien stuff, and I'm not into the reptilian stuff, you know.
Okay,
I know
well, you've said that, Carolyn. You're going to repeat yourself. So let's get his take on some of this. Go ahead, Stuart.
Well, I'm not sure if there's a question there, and I do appreciate Carolyn at least being open-minded to the mind control and programming. Yes, of course, my experiences do color my viewpoint of what's going on out there. And as I've talked about on other shows, both on this one and others, I have spent at least 17 years now in self-deprogramming and still not done. And I never claimed to be fully integrated. I still have my own triggering issues, except that now When I do get triggered, I am consciously aware of it. I'm grateful to be married to my wife, Janet, who is also involved in this work, and she actually points out to me when I'm being triggered. And
so you believe you're still programmed somehow?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? Yes, absolutely, and except that now I have a greater awareness of what that programming is and how it's affecting my life, and I know how to circumvent that and avoid the full activations. You know, when you're programmed very deeply, as people from Montauk Program were, it's pretty much a lifelong deprogramming experience. You know, you can't do the deprogramming techniques for a few days or a few months and say, okay, I'm all done now. It's not like that. It's layer and layer and layer and layer, and you need to really chip away at it. It's like having a toothpick against an iceberg and trying to get to the core of it. And so the programming isn't put in so simply that you can just undo it. That's why I teach deprogramming and tell people to do this constantly. It becomes a way of life, and the more you do, the more you reintegrate. And my hope is that if you can get at least a good chunk of the programming reintegrated into your natural oversoul mind pattern, then it'll kind of be a critical mass that'll turn the tide and reverse the rest of it automatically.
Stuart, I'd love for you to be wrong. I'm not so sure you are. I think you're right on some things. Some of the others are a little far-fetched, but you know what? Anything's possible anymore, I think.
You know, George, I appreciate you saying that, because there are days when I say, you know, I really hope I am wrong. But then I'll see something on the news or a client will come to me and there it is right there in my face again, and it is true. And unfortunately, every day, all you got to do is put the news on and you see it over and over again. Everything is happening. You know, in Montauk, back in the early 70s, we were told what this time period was going to be like. And it's true. Everything they told us back then is happening now. Their agenda is being fulfilled. And, of course, their perspective was that human beings were so violent and ignorant that they could not possibly be in control of this planet by themselves. They needed to be controlled. Otherwise, there would be total chaos on this planet. And, you know, I don't totally agree with that, but quite honestly, when I look out at the world and I see the way people treat each other, I start to wonder about, you know, what hope is there sometimes, because people can be very mean and cruel to one another. So my hope is not only will they deprogram, but they'll learn how to treat each other positively and civilly and unconditionally, and that will be a perfect society.
I'd love to buy dinner for you, Stuart, and Alex Jones, and tape it and play it back on the show. You two, have you heard of Alex?
Of course. In fact, he's advertised some of my things on his site.
Great. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is John from Bonnie Lake, Washington.
Hey, John.
And
thanks.
I would like to give you a little bit of a scenario here and then ask the opinion of the gentleman. And it's actually a two-part thing. I believe that under the mind control issue, that the Illuminati believe that they are losing control, and therefore they are going to instigate very soon a war with Israel to get rid of Israel, to get rid of the Muslim world, the radicals, to deal a head blow to the USA, because we're not going to point blankly incorporate or allow ourselves to be incorporated into this world order. And so we have to be brought down the ladder, and then they're going to raise us all back up again and with great strength in this land. And also, I believe that they're going to, the Antichrist will come upon the scene after this with his wonders and his power and his peace initiatives, and that they are going to hold Russia down to keep her from getting any stronger, and eventually they will go after the Orient, too, to get them to meld into everything. And now, once that they've achieved certain goals, I don't think they're going to need all the doormats that they consider us to be, and they will throw the majority of them into the fire and leave millions instead of billions. Now, that's how I see this playing out, and I've been shown several things over the past 3 months that make me to see it this way. Now, concerning the Antichrist, I wanted to ask if your guest has ever heard of Aviar Solana, because he beats a lot of the requirements. And if a person would go to YouTube and type up, sorry, you missed the rapture, you can see all about him and see what the requirements are. But this man is the head of the EU. He is a guy that's going around in the Middle East right now with peace initiatives, and he just has a great big agenda, and it shows that he is from the he's a Roman Catholic. He's a part of the he's a part of a group that wants one language for many tongues.
So you think he's the Antichrist, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you go there and look under this name, Aviar Solana, starts to spell that with a J, J-A-V-I-E-R.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's
You go there and you quoted. Go type up in YouTube, sorry you missed the rapture, and you'll see all about him.
Stuart, what do you think of this individual?
Well, I know who he's referring to, and, you know, as I've mentioned before on the show, it's not just one group that's part of the Illuminati. There are 13 families who basically have the world divvied up under various control. And what we're seeing right now is a battle between the Windsors, the Rothschilds, and the Romanovs now for total domination of the Illuminati system. Russia must be looked at. I think your caller is correct in that perspective, because the Soviet Union is being reconstituted. I do have connections to what is called the former KGB, but, you know, I know that it still exists. And KGB people have told me that the Soviet Union is coming back. It won't be under the same format as it was previously, but it will be a totalitarian dictatorship. And that's what we're seeing happening now. Russia is now sending their bombers off our coasts again, which hasn't happened for so long. And we're seeing Russia involvement in Iran and Syria and other countries, just like it was during the Cold War. So what we're seeing now is that in the end battle for global domination, there's a factor coming in where, you know, when you put a bunch of reptiles in a pit, they don't help each other get out. They fight to kill each other so there's one survivor. And that's what we're seeing with the Illuminati families. They're fighting now for control of the head, which is called the Pindar, right now controlled by the Rothschild family, but certainly the Windsors, who control the U.S. and Britain, and the Romanovs, who control Russia and the Soviet Union countries. These people are trying to gain control. And unfortunately, it's a two-headed, two-sided issue here, because on one hand, their battles between each other provide cracks in the system that we could widen and win for ourselves. On the other hand, though, we get caught in the middle between all the battling and the wars and the violence that they create. So we have to be very careful in the choices that we make, and we have to be careful in what we're hearing in the media and how we apply it in our lives. And that's why I say, you know, despite what's going on out there, work within yourself, within your own mind. Because, yes, the agenda for this planet is not a pleasant one. Something will be played out. I agree that the Illuminati are afraid. I think there's other factors involved that go beyond this planet. But, yes, they're fearful about something. They're speeding up the agenda. They're making mistakes. And they're battling each other. And we can use that battle for our own selves in order to gain control of our own minds.
Okay, we're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to continue with final phone calls with our special guest tonight, Stuart Swartlow on Coast to Coast AM. And our next Coast to Coast program, it'll be Art Bell filling in for me. I'm going to take the day off, and Art is so gracious enough to fill in for me. How strange, huh? That's what I used to do for him a long time ago. So it should be a program that will be, again, one of those coast-to-coast classics. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your final calls with our guest, Stuart Swartlow, on Coast to Coast AM. Stuart, at what point did you begin to realize that this was happening at a very rapid clip?
Well, of course, I knew something was going on from childhood. You know, my father was involved in the U.S. military when I was very young. And, of course, you know about my family history. So I was always politically involved, and I always knew what the agenda was for the Earth. The problem was, of course, getting the right words to tell people about it. But I think it was basically towards the end of the Montauk Project, which, again, ended in 1983. That's when it was like being unplugged when that situation ended. It was like being disconnected from the source of life, if you will, because I was so used to being heavily programmed and doing everything that I was told to do. And then when it suddenly ended, it was like I was thrust out into the world and had no idea how to deal with it. So I really had to train myself and teach myself how to function. And, of course, there were government people who tried to deprogram me, but they did it in such a way that left me very weak physically and emotionally, because they just tried to drain everything out of me under the assumption that I was not going to survive and they needed whatever information was in me. So it was then I realized how people are used and abused by the control system. And it really angered me, and especially looking at my children and seeing how they were also suffering sometimes at night and having nightmares and things come to them in the middle of the night, which they told me about, which I, by the way, never discussed with them, so that they never heard that from me. That came from them. And they, had a very sheltered life at the time. They didn't know what was going on in the outside world. So the only way they could have known about it was through personal experience. And that angered me, knowing that what I went through and then my children were going through, how dare these people do that to not only me but anybody. So I became very adamant about going out into the world and telling people about it. Of course, I get a lot of rotten apples and tomatoes thrown at me by people who don't want to hear about those things. But my feeling is, at least I'm going to say what I know. It's not my job to convince anybody of anything. I simply state what I know, and the rest of the world can accept or reject as they see fit. However, I do see what's going on. I know what's going on, and time is getting very critical. We're reaching a point now where there's not much time to play around and decide whether you believe it or not, because here it is. It's happening right in front of us. So I would urge all listeners and readers of my site and my books to really do their own work. Despite what I say, don't listen to me if you don't want to. Do your own work. Do your own research. Find out for yourself, and you will see what's going on out there, and you will be fascinated by what's going on in your own mind.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Thanks for holding so long.
Yes, sir. No problem. Good evening.
Sure.
In the late 70s, early 80s, there was an article in Omni magazine about an ELF or ULF radio station in Russia transmitting a blank carrier beam. There was no modulation, nothing piggybacked on it. It was going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It had gotten to the point, according to the article, that any of the major legislative bodies in Europe, and the article mentioned Sweden and Germany, before the members took a vote on any critical issue, they turned on a personal jammer that was tuned to block this frequency. Now, ELF and ULF, they go through the Earth, so everybody on Earth was being, whether they knew it or not, was hearing this continuous tone, and it never changed. It was the same thing over and over. My question is, would that be part of a programming thing? Because anything could be piggybacked onto it, a trigger at any time. And are you familiar with that, Mr. Stewart? And is that still going on? Do you know? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, caller. And actually, you're 100% correct. That program in the Soviet Union back in those days, the time period that you mentioned, it's a very strange name, but they called it Project Vodka. And the reason they called it that was because it altered the mental capacity of the people who were bombarded by it. And as you know, it's a very well-known fact that the Soviets used to bombard the American embassy with microwave to distort the minds and computer systems there. So, yes, absolutely, you are correct. This did occur. It still occurs, except that now the transmissions are by satellite. President Reagan years ago was very proud to announce that the entire Earth was ringed by satellites so that nowhere on the Earth would be remote from anywhere else. But what he failed to say was that those satellites were there to watch everyone and transmit the same kind of signal to the population. It wasn't only the Soviets that did it. Of course, the Americans did it. The British had their own version out of Tavistock Institute in London. Ours came out of the NSA in Fort Detrick, Maryland. These are common background standard events. The Earth is still bombarded. As I mentioned earlier, the government stated the North and South Poles are bombarded with ELF and microwave that they don't know where it's coming from. Well, it's coming from them. They're doing it. They're altering the morphogenetic grid of the Earth. They're creating weather changes. They're creating geological upheavals as a way of creating fear so that they can control the population. You know, people in the government, in the Congress and Senate, they know about this. This is not a secret anymore. The secret government is now the public government. It's a total control system now. When, before George Bush came to Washington, while he was in his motorcade in Texas on his way to Washington, he said, "The world would be a better place if I was the dictator." That's a direct quote from him. So, you know, so the, one of the callers earlier mentioned about an antichrist. My opinion is he's the antichrist. You know, there's more than one. There's a, whoever is the leader of a large group of nations, that's right now an antichrist because they have a very negative agenda for the population.
West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. I was listening to this all night. There's one thing that I know is not correct on this. I don't understand why you would think you could get the blood of Jesus Christ off the Shroud of Turin, because it's been independently tested many times by many independent laboratories. There were two complete occasions separated that where the Vatican allowed it to be tested. These results are widely available, and the Shroud isn't old enough, first of all, to have been the burial cloth of Jesus. There's no Jesus blood on it.
I understand that, caller, but that your information is a bit dated. Just within the last year or two, the Israelis themselves at Hebrew University tested the shroud and said that they found pollen samples within the shroud that were at least 2,000 year old and came from that area of the Middle East and basically re-authenticated the veracity of the shroud. So, in fact, it's been revalidated and is now considered to be as old as they claimed originally.
And the blood, whatever that is hardened, but it still, I guess, could be used, could it not?
Yes, in fact, they've done this before. They've taken woolly mammoth DNA that's been frozen for 10, 20,000 years and reconstituted it. So this is not a problem technologically. They can take even what is considered to be dead cells and reconstitute it and get the genetic material and regenerate it using other, by implanting it in a living egg and then making it cloned.
But are you saying they can clone Jesus?
Well, basically, correct. They can clone anybody, anything. And yes, they have done this, and I write about that in my Blue Blood book.
All right, let's go to first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, this is Jack.
Corpus Christi, Jack. First time. Thank you, sir.
Corpus Christi, Texas, first-time caller. A lot of my questions have been answered already. Like, I was going to ask about the second coming of Christ. Is he saying that they're going to clone Jesus Christ? Is he coming back as an agent of the government, or
well, actually, on there, yes, that's correct. I wrote about that in my Blue Blood book, where that was part of the staged second coming, where they present this individual who claims to be Jesus Christ. They test his genetics; it matches the Shroud of Turin, and therefore, I mean, how can you question that when you have a person's genetics match the blood on the Shroud of Turin identically? And yes, he is a programmed person. Of course, it isn't the real Christ figure. It's the cloned, manufactured one. But people will believe it because of the genetic material.
Okay. You've talked a lot about, I've listened to a couple other callers about reptilians and aliens. That's, for me, that's a little far-fetched. I was going to ask you, do you believe in Christ?
I believe in a Christ consciousness. As far as the individual, the human being, I believe that, yes, such a person did exist, but not in the way that the Bible presents it. I believe it was a different scenario. I believe in God mind. I think all of creation is God mind, and we are all parts of that, and therefore we can never be disconnected from it. And that is why programming cannot last forever, because they cannot program God mind. They can only make you feel or think that you're disconnected from it, when in fact you never can be. And that is what we work on through the deprogramming, to get to the core of your true personality connected to the Oversoul and God mind, so that you find out who and what you really are and gain control of self.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Glenn in San Bernardino, California.
Yeah, Glenn.
I was wondering what you thought about the HARP system. You were talking about something like radio waves and doing some mind control and things like that.
Stuart, you're familiar with HARP up there in Alaska?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, one of my clients is a helicopter pilot, military helicopter pilot, who flew the route in Alaska over the HARP area and described it very in detail to me. You know that HARP is not only in Alaska. There is a sister HARP yes. project in the northern reaches of Norway. And also there are 11 other sub-facilities around the world that are connected to it. HARP has many functions, not only weather control, but it also generates at a frequency that can alter genetic sequences in humanity and in other creatures. So that is one of the things that they're doing. They're also creating an electrical barrier in the ionosphere, basically as a shield against whatever may be out there coming to this planet. That is also what is creating some of the heavier storms and electrical thunderstorms that we're seeing recently. It has nothing to do with global warming. It has to do with the HARP project and related systems. So yes, this does exist, and it is very, very intense on the planet.
So we need to shut down the HARP system if it's doing that kind of damage. I mean, 3 gigawatts of radiated power is pretty intense.
That's correct.
Scary.
That's correct. But of course, you know, it's not an easy task to just shut that down because, first of all, government doesn't admit that it exists even.
Kind of like the aliens.
Correct. You know, it's really brilliant what they have devised, you know, to create something and then say it doesn't. You know, NSA used to stand for no such agency until finally the government admitted in the late 90s that, yes, it really does exist. So little by little, they're releasing to the public all these secret facilities that exist. You know, during 9/11, when Bush was being sequestered and kept safe, they announced on CNN he was taken to an underground city in West Virginia. I had been talking about that city for years, and people thought I was insane, and here it is on CNN. See? And then they even mention that there's underground entrances from other states that lead to it. And aren't we fortunate that we have a safe government underground that could control things in case Washington is destroyed?
Okay, let's take a few more calls, and then that is it. West of the Rockies, you're up. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Oh, my question is, who or how do the families find protection from this mass mind manipulation?
You're referring to the 13 Illuminati
family? Yeah, or whoever's perpetrating this, how do they stay free from it?
Well, that's a good question, and the answer is they are not free from it. In fact, programming is a way of life for them. It ensures that their culture and civilization stays stable and does not deviate from their agenda. They do program themselves and their own children. Of course, the programming they receive is different than the programming they give to the general population. Their programming is to have an elite group of people that can control the masses, and they have not a doubt in their minds that they're doing the right things for themselves and the world.
How wealthy are these people, Stuart, these families?
Well, they control all the resources of the earth, so quite wealthy.
You mean combined they do?
Yes. I mean, Queen Elizabeth is one of the wealthiest women on the earth. You look at the Rothschilds, look at the Carnegies, look at the Kennedys, look at all these the people that control the planet. There's no way of even measuring the wealth. It's so vast.
Good point. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I just have a quick comment to make, and I'll listen off the air, but it's in reference to the caller was talking about some of his relatives came back from the war, and they weren't, you know, they weren't the same, and were they programmed, et cetera, et cetera. I'm from the Vietnam era, although I did not serve. I got a high number in the draft lottery, and I did not enlist. My father, who's 87 years old, was in World War II, and I remember very distinctly when I was a kid, even though I was very much into playing Army and all that kind of stuff. Only until very recently, my father never, ever talked about things that he saw in the war. He was in an intelligence service that worked in conjunction with the French underground. And then after the war, he was involved in the OSS in the Bremen Enclave in Germany. And only very recently, and I'm 55 years old, and I didn't know any of the stuff that he talked about when we sat and talked about it for a while. And my point is that someone cannot understand, even though I've talked to many people of my contemporaries that were in Vietnam and described to me different things that they saw and did, that go way beyond any kind of fiction or movies that you can imagine, and things that my father described that he was witness to. You cannot witness those type of events and be party to those type of events and be the same happy-go-lucky, oh, I'm just going to go out and have a few beers with the guys, you know, when you come back. You are different because you have seen the horrors of war firsthand, and it has to change a person.
Oh, there's no question about it. Stuart, we are out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program. Good luck with all your research, my friend.
Thank you very much, George. You're a wonderful host, and I appreciate you very much. And I would invite all of you to please come to www.expansions.com and see what we have to offer.
You've got it. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ian Punnett, Ross Mitchell, and Art Bell, I'm George. By the way, Art will be on our next program. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.